So we have, throughout the Lenten season, we have been studying the I am statements of Jesus from the Gospel of John. There were seven of those. And we've looked at all seven of those, including today. We've looked at Jesus' statement that I am the gate. He is the gate through which all pass to the Father. We've looked at I am the good shepherd, that he is the true vine. He is the light that illumines everything. Last week, we talked about his being the way, the truth, and the life. In today's text, Jesus is telling Martha that he is the resurrection and the life. Our text today comes from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, and it's kind of in the middle of a story. And so I want to sort of set the stage for you, and then I'll conclude the story for you. So, Jesus' good friend Lazarus is sick. And his sisters, Mary and Martha, have sent word to Jesus, Lazarus is sick, come quick so you can heal him. Well, Jesus did not come quick. Jesus continued to teach. And Jesus kind of meandered his way towards Lazarus. And word came to him that Lazarus was dead. And Jesus had now come to the village where Lazarus was, and he was greeted by Martha. So our text today starts with the 21st verse of chapter 11. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. This is the word of God for the people of God. So Jesus has made his way. He's on the outskirts of town, and Martha has greeted him. Mary comes. He talks to Mary, and he is making his way into the town to the actual tomb where Lazarus is laid. Now, Lazarus has been dead 4 days. Lazarus is good and dead. He is standing outside the tomb, and one of my very favorite verses of the King James Version is chapter 11, verse 39. And he's standing outside the tomb. He's getting ready to raise Lazarus, and Mary or Martha, I forget which one, stands there and says, but Lord, he stinketh. Just before this, Jesus had come upon the people that were mourning Lazarus. Mary and Martha were crying, and the other Jews were crying. And we read in verse 35 that Jesus wept. Shortest verse in all of Scripture. You all can now memorize Scripture. Jesus wept. But I've always wondered, why did Jesus cry? Why did Jesus weep? He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew he was going to walk up to Lazarus' tomb and say, hey, Lazarus, get up. And it was going to happen. You know why Jesus cried? Because the people were crying. He felt their pain. Jesus understood their pain. And he cried because his loved ones were crying. That lesson for me is that when we cry, Jesus cries with us. When we hurt, Jesus hurts with us. And conversely, when we celebrate, Jesus celebrates with us. Jesus knows exactly what's going to happen. He's going to walk up to the tomb and say, "Lazarus, get up," and he does. And he looks like a mummy because he's covered in linens. And Lazarus lives. He knows exactly what's going to happen. Martha is concerned because he's died. And Jesus says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." And then he looks at her and says, "Do you believe this?" I will tell you, I had a moment as I was preparing this sermon in which it felt to me as if Jesus was asking me that very question. Do you believe this? I mean, you think about what we're celebrating today. We're celebrating a man who was crucified on a cross, put in a tomb, and was resurrected. It's pretty outlandish when you really think about it. But Jesus put this question to me, do you believe this? And the answer is yes, with all my heart. Jesus resurrected Lazarus, and Jesus will resurrect you. That is his promise to you. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, you will be resurrected. You will have the gift of eternal life. In verses 25 and 26, he says, "Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." We have the gift of eternal life through faith in Christ. The promise has been made, the promise has been kept, and it will be kept for you, that you will be resurrected and that you will be in heaven. But wait, that's not all. Jesus will resurrect you and bring your soul to heaven with him. But we don't only receive the gift of eternal life. We receive resurrection and life in this lifetime when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It doesn't matter what evil you have done. It doesn't matter what horrible things you think you may have done. It doesn't matter what a horrible human being you are. It doesn't matter how far you have run, how hard you have hid from God. The love of God is constantly searching and calling for you because he wants you to have resurrection in this life and in the next. God's love for you is so immense that no matter how far you run, no matter how hard you try to hide, he is calling to you. He is looking for you. He is calling for you to be in relationship with him. And here's the great news. When you come to a relationship in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. All the bad stuff that you've been carrying around with you, it's gone. Gone. Your slate is wiped clean. You get a do-over in life. You remember playing kids' games? We'd play kickball or baseball, and you couldn't quite figure out, was somebody out? Were they safe? "I was out. No, I was safe." What's the resolution? Do-over. Through faith in Christ, you get a do-over. All the terrible things that you have done are forgiven. You've received God's grace and love, and you can stand before the God of the universe blameless, sinless, because Jesus paid the price for you. There's a story about a U.S. Army chaplain He was on a troop ship, and it was just post-World War II. He was on a troop ship that was returning from Japan to America, where 1,500 Marines were on this ship, and they were going to all be taken out of the Marine Corps. They were all going to have fulfilled their commitment. So they're traveling back, and to his surprise, a small group of people said, "Hey, can you lead us in a Bible study?" And so the chaplain said, "Of course, I'll lead you in a Bible study." And they studied a number of things. That's a long journey from Japan to the United States. And they studied this particular chapter, John 11, the resurrection of Lazarus. And this chaplain went on to say that this young man had come to him and said that he had been living in hell the last 6 months, that he'd gone straight into the Marines from college and he'd been sent immediately to Japan. He'd been bored with life and he'd gone out and gotten into trouble, bad trouble. But nobody knew about it except God. He felt guilty. He felt that his life was ruined. He felt he could never face his family, although they would probably never know the terrible things he had done. He felt that he had killed himself and that he was a walking dead man. This young man said to the chaplain, "After reading this chapter, I have come alive again. I know that this resurrection Jesus was talking about is real. It's here and it's now. For he has raised me from death to life." That's what Jesus offers you, is a resurrected life in this lifetime. Jesus truly is the resurrection and the life. We are celebrating today the empty tomb, not the one of Lazarus, but the one of Jesus, the one who died that you might experience resurrection and life. You know, I think about his disciples having watched him die on the cross. Well, actually, most of the men disciples had scattered. They were in hiding. It was the women that stood and watched Jesus die on the cross. The women were followers of Jesus that watched him die. The women helped to put him in the temporary grave because of the Sabbath. They couldn't properly prepare his body. And in this text, Mary Magdalene goes to anoint the body and doesn't even make it to the grave when she sees the tomb, the stone has been rolled away from the tomb. And she goes to get Peter, and likely John is the one that the disciple whom Jesus loved is. But can you imagine the despair that the disciples had had from Friday until that Sunday morning? The sadness, the despair that they had in their life. They had to have this feeling that, like, what a monumental waste of time this last 3 years have been. Our leader is dead. We might be next. And it was all for naught. The despair they must have felt. You see, that despair that they are feeling is what we feel when we have in this lifetime no Jesus in our life. When we do not recognize that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, we live our life in darkness and despair. While Jesus is offering to us a resurrected life, an eternal life. The resurrection, it has happened. The tomb is empty. And he is alive. Do you believe this? That the tomb is empty and that he is alive? He is alive. If you believe this, I invite you to stand with me and say, he is alive. 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 And because he is alive, you have life eternal. Because you have Jesus in your life, you live a resurrected life, a life that is full of joy, because you have Jesus in your heart. He is alive, and he is alive in you. Let us pray. Almighty God, bring to life in us the Spirit of Christ, that we might be a follower of him that is worthy of the price that was paid for us. Almighty God, write on our hearts that he is alive and that he is working in us, on us, and through us. We pray this in the name of our Savior, the risen Jesus. Amen.